All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1, beautiful passage. The chapter is about doctrine, but in the midst of teaching us the importance of doctrine in the local church, Paul stops and reminds us that for us as Christians, Christian charity is number one. Remember, Jesus told us that the two greatest commandments in the Bible are to love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love your neighbors yourself, to love others. So here in chapter 1, verse 5 of 1 Timothy, Paul says, "The end of the commandment is charity, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, from which some, having swerved, have turned aside unto vain jangling." So today we're going to focus on pure heart, good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now that you would use your word to teach us, to grow us. Lord, may we just get a hold of how important it is that we show Christian charity every day, all day. And Lord, that we look for opportunities to be a blessing to our brothers and sisters. We pray now the Holy Spirit would take the word and apply it to our hearts, and that Jesus would be magnified. We give you this service. We thank you for it, for the privilege of assembling in your name. And we love you in Christ's name. Amen. The end of the commandment. So again, he's reminding us that this charity that God wants us to show one to another envelops really almost all the commandments relative to interacting with other human beings. If we'll love each other as he loved us, we can't go wrong. Galatians 5:14, turn back there quickly, says a similar thing. It says, "For all the law is fulfilled in one word," Galatians 5:14, "even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." James calls it the royal law. In James chapter 2, he says, "Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Some people call it the golden rule. But God wants us, if you go to 1 Corinthians 13 quickly, God wants us to show charity one to another, but he gives us in this passage, and we'll look at it in detail, a formula for being able to do that properly. 1 Corinthians 13, look at down in verse 4. "Charity suffereth long, is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things." I think we have our work cut out for us after you read that passage. That's the kind of charity we're supposed to be showing one to another every day. But what Paul is teaching, let's go back to our passage in 1 Timothy chapter 5, is we cannot carry this out. We cannot obey this command to show charity one to another unless some things are right in our own lives. And it starts with our heart. Notice he says, out of a pure heart. A pure heart. Now we know that we're all sinners. And we know that we make mistakes every day. But I believe what God is teaching us here is he wants us to keep short accounts. We all know 1 John 1:9, one of the most important verses for Christians. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if we allow sin to build up, if you will, and I'm not talking about in a Catholic sense that you go to confession every Saturday or that sort of thing. No. But if we don't deal with the sin, then the sin deals with us and changes us and makes us ineffective in being able to love one another as God commands us to. Even David understood this. He said, "Create in me a clean heart, O God," in Psalm 51:10. "And renew a right spirit within me." Go to 2 Timothy 2, verse 22. Again, God giving direction to the servants of the Lord. And notice what he says, "Flee also youthful lust, follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." A pure heart. And if we're not a Christian that's getting alone with God every morning, getting alone with God all throughout the day, praying without ceasing, dealing with the sins as they occur, then our heart is not in the right place to show, as he says, this charity that we're supposed to show. We must keep our hearts pure. 1 Peter 1:22 says we have to love one another with a pure heart fervently. Fervently. But again, he mentions the pure heart. Keep short accounts with God. You can't do that if you're not in prayer constantly, can you? You can't show charity if you're not keeping the heart pure. But he goes on, 1 Timothy 1:5, to say, and so he doesn't just say to show charity out of a pure heart, but he says, and of a good conscience. A good conscience. I believe what God is teaching us here is we have to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. That's why we were given a conscience, so we could listen and hear when the Holy Ghost convicts us and speaks to us about things in our lives that need change. God gave every human being a conscience, as we know. And we'll go to Romans 2:15 and I'll show you this. But beyond this, once you're a born-again Christian, then the Holy Spirit speaks to us through our conscience to show us where there's sin in our life. Again, when we get alone with God in the mornings, we know how it works. We go to open the Word of God and the first thing that happens is the Holy Spirit points things out in our lives that need dealt with. It might not even be sin. It might be things that we should be doing and we aren't. We need to get busy and serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Holy Spirit is, this is one of the things He does for us. Is He compares us to Jesus and says, this needs work. Romans 2:15 says, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile, accusing or excusing one another. Here he's talking about the unsaved. Even the unsaved have a conscience. God says in the last days, 1 Timothy 4, they'll be seared with a hot iron. But they have a conscience. God gave every human being a conscience. That's how we know there is a God. Because we look at creation, we see there must have been a designer. But He's put within our hearts to know there is a God. But beyond that, once you're a Christian, the Holy Spirit needs to have the freedom to use the conscience to keep us right with God, to keep us close to God, to keep us serving God. Go to Acts 24:16 and we'll see an example from the Apostle Paul. Acts 24:16. And let's be real, if we're not walking in the Spirit, if we're not filled with the Spirit of God, then we can't show the love of God like we're commanded to, because we don't have the capacity to. That love has to come from God. The fruit of the Spirit is, what's the first one? Love. Galatians 5:22. God has this infinite reservoir of love, of charity, that He wants to touch others with, but we are just the conduits. Amen? But it doesn't flow if we're not yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, if our conscience isn't right. Acts 24:16, Paul says, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. He says, I've done my best as I'm getting to the end of my ministry here to keep my conscience clean this way and this way. Who points all that out? The Holy Spirit. He says, you're not right with God in these areas. You need to get that sorted. Oh, and by the way, you're also not right with this particular person. You haven't forgiven them yet. Or you haven't gone to them because you know you hurt them and you haven't gone to them and apologized. Whatever it might be, the Holy Spirit knows all these things because He's God. And we, like Paul, need to strive to have a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men, if we're going to have the capacity to show the charity He wants us to be able to show to one another. Peter says, having a good conscience in 1 Peter 3:16. So God not only says that if we're going to be able to show the charity He wants us to show, which we read about in 1 Corinthians 13, read it at home, verse 4 to 7. Number one, we got to do it out of a pure heart. But number two, of a good conscience. But He's not finished beating us up, if you will. Verse 5, and of faith unfeigned. You mean that there's Christians who fake faith all the time? We read about it in Sunday school, didn't we? People doing things for the glory of man, for man to see, for man to praise. That's called fake faith. The word unfeigned means undisguised or sincere. God wants our faith to be that kind of faith. That look at Luke 20:20. I'll show you. It'll help us understand the word feign. But God wants our faith to be genuine. There are too many Christians that aren't genuine in their faith. They're one thing on Sunday and they're something else during the week. The world calls them hypocrites. How many people have we met in our lifetime that said, well, I used to go to church, but Christians are hypocrites. Or I used to be interested in becoming a Christian, but I've met too many of them were hypocrites. They shouldn't be able to say that, should they? But that's what happens when your faith is unfeigned. Luke 20:20, and they watched him and sent forth spies which should feign themselves just men. So that kind of helps you understand the word feign. They acted like just men. They were faking it. How many Christians do the same? They fake the fact that they love Jesus and that they're on fire for Jesus, but they really aren't. In their private lives, there's something else. You can't show the charity God wants you to show if your faith isn't genuine, if it isn't sincere. Now, Timothy, if you go to 2 Timothy chapter 1, Timothy actually was an example that Paul held up as someone who had faith that was real. Notice 2 Timothy 1:5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and am persuaded that in thee also. He's saying, Timothy, when I remember your upbringing, your life, you are a person of unfeigned faith. Genuine, sincere faith. You're not a fake Christian, you're a real Christian, and people can see it. And God wants this from all of us. Look at Philippians 1:10, if you would. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul says that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. Insincerity, it's a shame. And it's what gives the world the excuse to call us hypocrites. So Paul is saying in our passage, the end of the commandment. If you want to wrap it all up into a commandment, you need to show charity. And that's a high calling when you read what charity truly is there in 1 Corinthians 13. But you need to show it, first of all, with a pure heart. Short accounts, sin dealt with. With a good conscience, sensitive to the leading of the Holy Spirit in your life, and genuine, sincere faith. If you don't have those three ingredients, he says, you cannot fulfill the commandment to show charity like God wants us to. So let's go back to our passage, and what does he say here in verse 6? From which some having swerved, I love that word, swerved. When I hear that word, I picture somebody swerving off the road. But that's really what it means. It means to err. It means to get sidetracked. It means to miss the mark. And what he's teaching is, if your heart isn't pure, if your conscience isn't clean, and if your faith isn't real, this is what's going to happen. You're going to get sidetracked. You're going to end up swerving off this narrow road that God wants us all to be following, and you're not going to be able to be the kind of Christian God wants you to be. Over in chapter 6 of 1 Timothy, just turn there quickly. Verse 21, Paul's talking about some that have swerved, if you will. 1 Timothy 6:21, he says, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. They've erred, they've swerved, they've gone off track. Because they haven't kept their heart pure. They haven't kept their conscience clean. And their faith is not genuine. Didn't Jesus say in John 13, "By this shall all men know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another"? John 13:35. That verse, he didn't say these. He said this. This one thing. He said, this one thing will be the way the world can tell Christians are different. One thing. Love one for another. We all know love is action. So what he's saying is the world will be able to see our love for one another by how we treat one another. How we're a blessing to one another. How we edify one another. How we lift one another up. How we meet one another's needs. The world will be able to see that and say, something's going on with those Christians. Jesus said that. By this. But what's the alternative? Go to 1 John 3:14. The alternative is, the heart's not pure. The conscience isn't clean. The faith is fake. Which means the charity isn't real. 1 John 3:14, we know we've passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Well, we certainly don't want to abide in death, do we? Look over chapter 4, verse 20 of 1 John. If a man say, "I love God," and hateth his brother, he is a liar. This is God's word. He's saying you can't say, "I love God," and simultaneously hate your brother, saying you're a liar. He that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? These are Christians that have swerved. They've gotten sidetracked. God says we're to edify, we're to encourage, we're to admonish one another. You know, a lot of the charity that we show to one another, we do it through our words, don't we? Yes, sometimes we help meet others' needs and we're physically a blessing to them. But the majority of the edification and the admonition and the exhortation that takes place happens by what we say. Which means it's not surprising what Paul says the end result will be for those who won't keep their heart pure, who won't keep their conscience clean, who don't have a genuine faith. Verse 6 of our passage, 1 Timothy 1, have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now that word's only in the Bible once. It means vain, empty talk or random talking. So the result of not dealing with an impure heart, not dealing with our conscience, and having an insincere faith will be eventually vain jangling. Instead of charity, edifying, admonishing, encouraging one another, it'll be vain jangling. So it's really an easy way for us to gauge ourselves, isn't it? What do we spend most of our time talking to other Christians about? Do we talking about the world? Are we complaining all the time? Are we talking about other people behind their backs? Or are we talking about the Lord and His Word, how good He is? Talk about heaven. That's a good revelation for us. Again, go to 1 Timothy 6, verse 20 this time. He says, "Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings." It sounds like we might have a tendency to do this. To vainly babble. And God says it's a good check on our hearts. That if we would rather vainly babble and vainly jangle, that our hearts aren't right. That instead we are to be looking for ways to show charity to our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we do a lot of that. If you go to Titus 1:10, we'll see it again. We do a lot of that through exhortation, through admonition. Even when God talks about being faithful to church there in Hebrews 10, what does He say? Consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. How do you provoke each other to good works? You do it with your words, don't you? You encourage them, you admonish them, you exhort them, whatever, but you do it with your words. God says if your heart's not right, your conscience isn't right, your faith is fake, you can't do it. Instead, your words are going to be, as it says here in Titus 1:10, unruly and vain talkers. It's interesting. The pastoral epistles have a lot to say about the tongue and giving this contrast between using our tongue to be a blessing and a help to our brothers and sisters or using our tongue to do the opposite. And so I know it's a short, simple passage, but I think it's important for all of us to just stop and say, you know, God's given us an easy check. Is my heart what it should be? Is my conscience what it should be? And is my faith what it should be? What do I talk about? When I get together with brothers and sisters in Christ, what is the focus of our discussion, our conversation? Is it the world? Is it sinful things? Or is it God and God's Word? You say, oh, that's too simplistic. I don't think it is. I think we're commanded to admonish and to encourage and to lift each other up. We can't do that talking about the world all the time and complaining all the time. That's vain jangling. God says, no, I want you to show charity, which is the end of the commandment, by the way, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and a faith unfeigned, genuine faith, a clean conscience. That doesn't mean we're sinless. It just means we're listening to the Holy Spirit and we're dealing with stuff He tells us to deal with. We're growing. We're becoming more like Christ little by little. If we'll do all that, then we can show biblical charity. Which again, huge challenge, isn't it? Let's read it one more time and we'll close. 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7. Because this, we have basically the rest of our Christian life to carry this out, but we need it because this is huge. This is not easy to carry out when you spend time with your brothers and sisters, is to have this kind of charity. Suffering long, constant kindness, never envy, never vaunts itself or puffs up. Verse 5, never behaves unseemly, never seeks her own, is never easily provoked, never thinks evil, never rejoices in sin or iniquity, but rejoices in what? The truth. And then last, beareth all things. Wow, if we just did that one thing, you'd never have conflict. Believeth all things, hopeth all things, and endureth all things. Like I said at the beginning, we've got our work cut out for us. This is the kind of charity God wants us to be showing to one another. We cannot do it if our heart isn't right. We cannot do it if our conscience isn't right. And we cannot do it if our faith isn't right. So one of the reasons God wants us to stay right is so we can be a blessing to each other. That's one of the reasons why He left us here, isn't it? To witness to the lost and to serve Him. So He's given us this very simple and yet very difficult formula to carry this out. A pure heart, a good conscience, and faith unfeigned. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us.